So I know you're wondering why we've got a map up here. And the reason is this, I don't know if the camera's going to follow me or not, but I'm going over here. So this is the ancient world. This is before Columbus. This is a long time ago. And this is how the antiquity, the people of old, looked at America. Interesting, you'll see that they called Africa, it was called Libya back then. But what I want you to focus, and you can see Europe up at the top and Asia over here, what I want you to focus on is this little thing right there. And that is the Straits of Gibraltar. Does anybody know about the Straits of Gibraltar? Okay. Has anybody stood on the Rock of Gibraltar? Dave Dorries. I love it, Dave. That's great. It's always good to have somebody in the crowd that's been there. Well, I hadn't been there, but they say that if you get up on the top, you can look in across the straits, and you can see Morocco and in northern Africa. It's about 8 miles away, roughly, which is roughly, if we went up to the top of this building and looked down towards Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that would be about 8 miles. So it's roughly the same thing. So this map makes no sense to us, of course, because we know what the world looks like, but it makes total sense to the people of the ancient world. There's a legend that Hercules inscribed right here, he put three words right there on that rock, and it said, ne plus ultra, ne plus ultra. So it was a warning to sailors not to go beyond. Don't go beyond. There's nothing further. And Christopher Columbus, of course, 1,500, 1,800 years after these maps were drawn, he proved him wrong because he sailed and there was a lot that was further beyond. In fact, King Charles of Spain at the time, when Columbus came back and this ne plus ultra was known throughout the world, that legend, and he took on as his personal motto and he inscribed it on the coat of arms, and it's still there today for Spain, and it is plus ultra. There is more. So this morning, we're going to continue in our talk on the lifeline of prayer, and I want to challenge you, each one of you, to ask yourself, is there more? Is there more in my prayer life? Is there something beyond? Is there more in my walk with Jesus? And over the past several weeks and months, our speakers have leaned into that. So today, men, the question is, do you want plus ultra? So open your book today, the book, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 is going to be our scripture. And let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Man, these 23 words are powerful. They are incredibly powerful, but for today, we're going to focus only on verse 18. Only on verse 18, where Paul talks about giving thanks in all circumstances. And if you look at the Message translation, if you happen to have that, let me just read that because I love the way it phrases it. It says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. So I want you to think about these words. No matter what. Give thanks in all circumstances. So the question is Paul really saying that we're to thank God for the bad stuff? That's the question that we're having. I mean, because all of us have experienced bad stuff. Every single one of us has. And you can fill in the blank in your own life. It could be health, it could be a relationship, it could be financial, It could be brokenhearted, whatever it is, a broken spirit, whatever it is. All of us have faced very difficult time. But what Paul says is, I want you to thank him in those hard times. So let's, I think the question that I had is, does Paul really mean what he says? Does Paul mean what he says? So let's look at his own words to find out. Many scholars believe that Thessalonians was the first book that Paul wrote, first of his letters. And Paul recognizes, as he's writing to the Thessalonians, he recognizes that they're enduring hard circumstances, persecution, and so therefore he writes these comforting words to the Thessalonians. He wants to encourage them in the midst of their troubles. But interestingly, he does not mention in Thessalonians his own sufferings. Later, of course, we know and we read throughout Scripture that he endured unbelievable troubles. Here's a few. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked, and he gave up all hope. He received 39 lashes. He was chained like a criminal for 5 years in prison. He's run out of town. He was left cold and naked, no food, water, sleep, or sleep for days on end. So, here's the question I asked myself as I was reading this. Okay, Paul, you encouraged the Thessalonians. Well, what about, that was before you mentioned any of these sufferings. What about before and after? What did you do? And the question I was asking myself is, okay, Paul, did you really walk the talk? So that's what I want to kind of drill into you today. One commentator paraphrases 1 Corinthians 15, 31 through 32. He says, if I didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, this is Paul, I wouldn't choose to live the way that I live, or walk where I walk, or sail where I sail, or preach where I preach, or travel where I travel. It's way too dangerous. There's danger on the streets, danger in the cities, danger from false brethren, danger from the seas. And he said, I live a life of perpetual risk. I put my neck on the line every day, and I'd be an absolute fool if there's no resurrection from the dead. He further writes in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose hope. We do not lose hope. Wow. Colossians 1, 24 says, I want you to know how glad I am. This is Paul. Listen to this. I want you to know how glad I am that I'm the one sitting here in this jail and not you. And there's a lot more suffering to be entered into this world, he says, the kind of suffering that Christ takes on. Jesus, of course, agreed with that because he said, "You're in this world, you will have trouble." Philippians 4, he goes on, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So when we look at these words, it's apparent to me that these all come after these horrific troubles, chained like a criminal, beaten with rods. So he's actually walking the talk. So my question for myself, and I ask you, is how did Paul do this? None of us like going through bad things. I've been through my share, and I know that you have. But how did he do this? How did he keep this attitude of gratitude after being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and chained like an animal? How did he not lose hope? How did he do that? How did he give up? Well, to drive it closer to home, let me ask this question. How do you and I not lose hope? How do we maintain an attitude of gratitude? I don't know what you're going through right now, but I suspect in a room this size and the men online that that many of you, many of us are hard-pressed, maybe losing hope. Maybe it's health, maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, brokenhearted. But many of us are going through this. So this applies to us today in 2025. So now I want to talk about some concrete steps that we can take. And as I was going through my study and thinking, I came up with four principles. The first one is that it requires complete trust. If we're going to be thanking God for the bad things, we had better trust Him. So as a reality check, I went and compared it to some scriptures. Proverbs 19 says, many are our plans that don't align with His plans. Okay, so we're going to be in misalignment with Him. And that's just a fact. But the other fact is that Jeremiah 29 says His plans are better. Isaiah 55 says His ways and His thoughts are higher than ours. Psalm 118 said He is good. So to get to the bottom line, I always like to look to some of the men around the table. And Bill Gann at my table would say, as only somebody from Alabama, Hueytown, could say, Bill, God's trustworthy. And since you ain't smarter than Him, get on board with the King and thank Him for getting you on the right path. All right, principle two is it requires hard work. It's hard work. Reality check, 1 Corinthians 9. Winners train hard and aren't lazy. Winners train hard and they aren't lazy. Romans 9 says, we can't be lagging in our diligence. Proverbs 22 says, don't be like a lazy man who is full of excuses. I didn't really want to pray. I was tight and God, it was late and I didn't pray this morning when I got up. And, you know, full of excuses. Can't be like that. Hebrews 10 says, God will not forget how hard you work for Him. God will not forget how hard you work with Him. So Wally Zipperick in my table, there's Wally back there. So Wally is 5'17"? 5'19", as he likes to say. 5'19". So Wally's 5'19", and Wally's a big fan of Malcolm Gladwell. Do y'all know the name Malcolm Gladwell? He's the guy that wrote the 10,000 Hours. Okay, so if we can kind of take some of Malcolm's and Wally's words, and let me mix them up and just combine them. It says, it takes concerted effort and practice to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. It's not going to happen. It doesn't naturally flow for you and I to say, boy, Lord, I am so glad I had that horrible wreck. Andrew was in a wreck the other day. You know, that's hard to give thanks for that one. But that's what He tells us to do. The third principle is it's a daily thing. Proverbs 4:12 says it is step by step and it's day by day. And 1 Peter is a backup to all this. 1 Peter 2 says, follow Jesus' example, follow His steps day by day. Proverbs 16, daily the Lord will show you. 2 Corinthians 4, renewal comes daily. So again, it's this idea that it's just not a one and done. You have to work at it. It's hard. You have to trust Him, and you got to do it every single day. Bottom line, Bobby Harvey at our table, who's from Savannah, he says, he always reminds us that the hardest thing about the Christian walk is that it's daily. It's daily. And it starts with the first step. You got to take that first step, the first decision that you make every day. And Zechariah 4:10, of course, says, God doesn't despise small beginnings. So take a step. Thank Him when something hard happens to you. And the final principle comes from a book that Chris White. Chris, I'm glad you're here. You gave this to me in 2015. J.C. Ryle, Holiness. And I picked it up again at the beginning of the year, and I've been rereading it. And I was struck, as I was preparing for this talk, that there was a nugget, Chris, that was tucked in here. And it's this. It says, as J.C. Ryle, who wrote in the 1800s, he said, as believers walk closer to Jesus, they will see more. They will know more. They will feel more. They will do more. They will repent more. And they will believe more. To which I add, and they'll thank Him more, no matter what. So those are four just kind of simple principles that the Lord laid on my heart. And in conclusion, I want to ask you about your thoughts on Plus Ultra. And so this is the old world. This is the new world. Isn't that amazing? Just this is the Straits of Gibraltar. This is what we're looking at. Right there. So do you want more? You want to be in a fishbowl? You want to be in the ocean? Do you want more? Sir Francis Bacon wrote right after the Columbus sailed, he said, many will pass through and their knowledge will be greater. They're going to pass through. They're going to pass through the Straits of Gibraltar. And look at what happens when you pass through. Look at it. That is a beautiful picture. And it's also a picture of John 10:10, which is Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life. Lord, Your Word is a lamp to our feet. And we ask that You teach us how to walk closer to You day by day. Lord, we teach us, help us to trust You more day by day, even when we don't understand life's troubles and when they pile up on us. And Lord, encourage us to never get up as we train our minds and our body to obey Your Word. And Lord, we strive to thank You no matter what, because You have got such good plans for us. You are a good, good Father, and we bless Your name, and we bless You for Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray, amen. Amen, amen, man. Have a great time at your table.